It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Are you sure? Because I can record you unready if you'd prefer. I hit the button, but it'd be hilarious if it turned out you weren't ready.
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that is the final stage of a decades-old bet between two rivaling families whose hatred for each other was surpassed only by their lust for multi-generational wagering. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 170.
And before you ask, no, in fact, William and I are not members of either of those families. It's a very complicated bet.
But there's nothing we can do about it.
No, it's, if we explain, there are laws.
And also some personal stuff that we don't want to get into.
But if it works out, one of us is going to have a great life.
But just one.
Yeah.
I wonder if people up to this point have already figured out that eventually we're going to fight to the death. I mean,
I'm surprised that we don't get a lot of emails about it.
No, you'd think
I would think it's self-evident.
That's probably the only reason most people are still listening.
I mean, ancient Scandinavians knew it already.
Yeah, right, right.
In fact, most of the apocalypse legends are about a particular episode of our podcast. It varies from legend to legend. But you say, which, Tony, which is the true apocalypse prophecy? And the answer to that is the one based on episode 12.
That's right. Well, the real...
The original episode 12,
yeah.
Yes.
The one that even
not
we...
Not the tribute.
Not the tribute, episode
You'd
12.
You'd think we would have mentioned the one true religion's apocalypse tale, though, in our tribute to the episode. We totally skipped that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it just seemed like... the whole thing was so second nature to us, or, you know, second nature, taken for granted in the whole thing, you know. It just didn't occur to us to, like, reiterate it, I guess.
As our listeners. Our listeners are taken for granted. I say this because at this point, if anybody's listening for the first time, they're gone. Anyway, just in case one of you has held on this long, yeah, and this is your first episode, let me explain the situation. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Brilliant minds of our generation and other generations write into this email address with questions, topics, comments, whatever they feel like. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies these emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically with inside the hat. We, myself and William, draw out of the hat these cards at random, read them on the air, talk about what we read until we're bored, move on to another one for about an hour. That's the show. What episode number is this again?
170.
All right.
It's a magical hat of talking.
It does not talk.
It has magical properties that make the person who possesses it look in there and say, well, what is this? Those look like note cards in there. And you pull it out, and you talk about it. You can't even really help talking about it. And there's always note cards
always
in there.
I've always felt William and I chatter a bit too much in general. Little did they know that it was because we were under the thrall of a hat of talking.
Yeah.
They should have suspected.
If you ever see one just lying on, you know, on the floor or sitting in the middle of the sidewalk,
across the street.
Go around it or something. Or trick somebody else into picking it up.
Yeah. Don't talk to
them. If you want to be sure that you're not going to. But don't touch it, because it'll then you'll end up like us, and nobody wants that,
including us. So here we are. Peter's done us. It's been what, 2 weeks?
It has been 2 weeks. Been 2 weeks because
we have so much to talk about.
Do we?
We do.
Hmm.
We have a great deal to talk about.
Okay.
And you actually know some of it.
I guess I know some of it. Yes.
You definitely know some of it. Let's start with the fact, and I'm going to hold this up for the audio podcast. Maybe you can hear the sound a little bit. We have a new sponsor. many of you have heard me discuss the disgusting Eastern Tennessee soft drink known as Dr. Enough. And some of you seemed skeptical that it really existed. So, I was at Cracker Barrel this weekend. Shut up, it's awesome. And they sell all sorts of newfangled versions of pop bottles to look like old-fashioned kinds of pop. And they had Dr. Enough there. And William can attest.
He is Dr. Enough, holding a bottle.
E-N-U-F.
A green bottle of Dr. Enough.
Now, this is not the original bottles that I knew from before. Those are weird little short, round, seltzer-looking things. This is a standard 12-ounce bottle from back in the day. Could be a beer bottle, even.
Yeah, but, you might think it was beer if you didn't know.
Yeah. And there's a little man on the front, and he says, rich in vitamins. And it says, Dr. Enough, rich. ... is enough. And that second enough is spelled correctly. It is crazy rich in vitamins. It has 246% of your daily thiamine, which is B1.
That's good, actually.
85% of your daily niacin, which is B3. And, in something that doesn't make the whole process creepy at all, 75% of your daily iodine. Contains filtered carbonated water, 100% pure sugar, natural and artificial flavors, citric acid, potassium benzoate, preserves freshness, caffeine, niacin, thiamine, and potassium iodide. So it's genuinely vitamin fortified. That's weird.
Well, you know, that's where the rights are from, East Tennessee, and I never heard of it.
See?
Not that it matters, I mean.
It's a real deal. So yeah, so we have that to go along with Kraft Dinner as our unwilling and unaware sponsors that provide us nothing and get nothing in return.
If it didn't have caffeine in it, I might give it a try.
But it had artificial flavors. Those are usually made from
bad things. Pork. Yeah. Pork. Yeah, not good.
No red food coloring though, so at least it won't be the little crustaceans.
Or yeah, whatever. Anyhow, is it green when it pours out? Do you know, or is it?
I don't recall. I think I drank it out of the bottle, so I may not even know.
Yeah. Like Mountain Dew kind of thing? I mean, what's its...
Well, see, it looks pretty clear. I would guess it's...
Like a 7-Up?
Like a 7-Up or a Sprite, I would guess. I'm not going to open it, because it was gross. But...
All right, then.
Anyway, there's that. I'm saving the big one for the end.
The big one?
The big news.
So you don't want me to talk about that?
Not yet.
All right.
So aside from working on the big news...
Is it really big news? Because we have talked... Okay.
I'm excited.
I'm excited, but we've talked about it before.
I know, but I like the anticipation.
Oh, okay.
So other than working on
like
the big news...
Like ketchup coming out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me started on that. I have a whole... People don't do that right, and there's physics behind it. It's amazing. Ketchup is a non-Newtonian fluid, and it's a whole thing.
Well, now they're going to put nanoparticles inside ketchup bottles so that it'll come out faster.
You don't need to. Very simple process.
I understand, but because everyone's doing it wrong, they're going to put nanoparticles in there. And some people are concerned about this because nanoparticles could, if they get into your system, could possibly cross the blood-brain barrier. And God only knows what problems could be solved by that.
So you're not making this shit up?
Oh, I'm not making it up.
They're going to put nanoparticles in the ketchup to make the ketchup slipperier?
Well, it's like a coating inside the...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, to make it come out faster. I don't know if there's actually any damage of the nanoparticles getting into the food, or what, once it's in the food, what the probability is that it would actually get to your brain. But it is a fact that nanoparticles have the definite potential to cross the blood-brain barrier and cause problems.
That's awful. I'm going to stick with the plastic ones that make farting noises.
Well, yeah, I think that's what they're coating with the nanoparticles.
Why do you need to? It comes out when you squeeze it and go...
You know what? I don't know. Look it up.
All right. Anyway, other than the big news, what have you been working on?
Why did you think I was making that up? Do I make up things like that? I'm not really good at making things up, actually.
That's true.
I would have to really think about that one to come up.
It seemed a little far-fetched, honestly. But sadly, no, I'm just proving the world sucks. All right. Anyway, so as I've been trying to say for I think like 3 minutes, other than the big news, what have you been working on?
Well, been doing? Other than the big news, the week previous to last week, you know, not a whole lot, but of course, where I was all of last week, basically, I was home because my brother who lives in Alaska was home, and he only gets back here like once every 4 years or so. Sometimes some of us
I don't let him out of Alaska.
Sometimes some of us make it to wherever he lives. I mean, he lives in Alaska now. He's lived in Seattle, but I've never been able to go to wherever he is. So I only get to see him every 4 years, and whoever he brings with him. Which the last time was his whole family, and this time it was just the two younger kids. He's got one other older kid who was here earlier in the summer. He was thinking he might go to Ames, which is Iowa State University. I didn't get back to see him because of car trouble, so I guess it'll be another 4 years before I see my oldest nephew. But anyway, they were back, and I stayed with my older brother almost all week, and we went down to the farm and, you know, did the usual stuff down there, played baseball and rode motorcycles and ATVs around. And the youngest nephew drove the tractor and everything. He thought that was great.
When you get around your family again, do you find yourself falling into the role you played as a child in the family?
No.
I don't have that too much with my family either. The producer's family, I see that a lot. They very quickly, you know, there's the good one, the bad one, the oldest who takes care of everybody, the troublemaker, the baby.
Well, I think something.
They really fall into those roles suddenly again when they're home.
But part of it is, I mean, most of us have been around each other. You know, I think you're going to get that more if siblings don't see each other that often.
I suppose, but, I mean, the producer's family, we see them several times a year. I mean, we see them every month or two.
Yeah, I guess. No, it's just, no. Well, I'm not sure if those roles even applied. I mean, it's in a limited way. This, my oldest brother, I know I'm the second in line there, and he really was a good kid. I mean, from the very start. And so he was kind of, you know, the obedient child, the one that did everything right. And from a very young age, our folks could leave us with him and know that either he'd prevent us from doing anything bad, or if we did, that he would be dutiful to let them know what we did. And the brother right after me, the one that lives in Alaska, was the one that misbehaved all the time. Mm. Although, you know, it's not like he never did anything illegal,
no,
and none of us
behaved by the rights standards.
Yeah, we never, none of us have ever drank or did drugs or smoked or anything. You know, we didn't do anything. So, but misbehaving in our family meant
sneaking Dr. Pepper and occasionally having pork.
No, I said he never did anything illegal. He would do things that might get him stopped by the cops and get a ticket or something. You know, like one time he drove his truck through the middle of the park, in the middle of Melcher Dallas. There's a park, but there's no road there. He just drove his truck through it. That kind of thing. Or, you know, he didn't get very good grades, but it was pretty clear that he could have if he wanted to, and that kind of thing. He would make trouble. You know, we all shared the same bedroom, and he would try to get Scott mad, and you know, we were all supposed to be sleeping, but he would be the one that would keep everybody up. That kind of thing. That's what misbehaving meant in our family. No kind of rebellion or law breaking or anything like that.
Animal sacrifice.
No, but and he still. I mean, one time while our parents were gone, we had these old guns in the house, a couple rifles and a shotgun. And, you know, there was some old ammo in there, too. And the parents were gone. And Roger decided, this is my brother, that's his name, from Alaska. He decided.
No. That's not his real name, people. That's the pseudonym we're using for this discussion.
He decided he was
protect his identity.
Going to, I don't remember which gun it was he was going to, it was one of the 22s or the shotgun. I don't remember. We had ammo for all of it. But anyway, he came to me.
This is the start of a really interesting story, and I guarantee it's not going to end interesting.
No, it's not.
See?
He came to me and asked me what I thought would happen if he loaded up the gun and shot it. And now, since the gun was old and we didn't have anything to, you know, we didn't have any gun oil or anything, or any way to clean it or condition it or put it, bring it up to where it would be a proper weapon or whatever, I said, well, there's a significant risk that, you know, well, nothing might happen, but there's a significant. Oh, I was in my teens, I don't know. I said, there's a significant risk that it's going to backfire and blow up in your face.
I'm betting you actually used the phrase significant risk.
I probably did.
Not good chance, significant risk.
Oh, I might have said good chance.
And then you straightened your tie and went back to your triplicate forms.
Anyway, so I told him this. And so what his response was to this, and this is a very typical response for him.
I'm guessing, nuh-uh.
No, it wasn't that. He totally believed me.
All right.
And he should have, because I was right. But he goes outside with the gun, and he puts a tin can, I don't remember what it was, some kind of target, a tin can, I think, on the ground because he wants to shoot at something. And instead of holding the gun up close to his face, he holds it down by his waist, because the way he was thinking was, oh, it might backfire. Well, I don't want it to backfire in my face. So if
my groin is fine,
I guess. And he fired the weapon, and it nothing happened. It was, I mean, it fired just fine. But this is the way he thinks. If
cool story, bro.
But a boring ending, right? Because it didn't blow up and harm him. Because that
was like a less charming tale from Lake Wobegon.
No, but listen, this is the way he thinks. He used to come to me all the time and ask, I don't know, he must have thought I knew things. He'd come to me all the time and ask, what's going to happen if I do this? And what I realized was he wasn't asking so he could decide if he wanted to do it. He was asking so he would be prepared for what was going to happen when he did it, because he was going to do it. I mean, he'd already decided that. He just wanted to know what he was in for, basically.
If I would grew up with you, I'd be shooting myself in the groin, too.
Anyway, but that's, he's like that, more than the rest of us. The rest of us, you know, we see something risky, maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. If it's risky, he'll do it, and he'll do it. I'm surprised he's even still alive.
The terrifying thing is, I realize there's a point to this, like, two nested topics.
Well, you were talking about types.
Yeah.
And I was sort of trying to say that maybe my older brother has that older brother type, and Roger might have that kind of rebellious type. But when you put it together and you put it in the context of how these types apply to most people, I don't think we really fit into these kind of types.
I know you didn't mention your sister at all.
Well, I didn't mention me or my other brother in terms of being types either. I don't know what types we are.
You don't even know what those children are.
We just were what we were.
And
like now, it's like you said, do you fall into some role? Well, we didn't really have roles except for maybe my older brother and maybe my middle brother, maybe, and that's about it. And they're adults now, so they don't act that way anymore.
You were the exciting one.
No, the thing...
That was a joke / insult.
The thing about me was I was a vocalist, like at weddings and, you know, at things. So I was known. People knew me. So people would often go up to the other brothers and ask if... Talk to them like they were me. Say, oh, hey, I heard you on the radio because I performed at a church that where the service was broadcast. Hey, I heard you on the radio. You know, you're pretty good, or I like that song, or whatever. And eventually, you know, they just said, well, thanks. You know, they didn't correct them anymore.
And that, they're like, all white people look the same to me.
And that happened a lot, and they were very annoyed by it. But
I treated somebody like you at work one time. They punched me in the mouth and didn't even get in trouble for it. I'm saying I don't treat you very well.
But that was the only thing notable about me, was that I was the only right boy that a lot of people knew.
Yeah. I think...
Of. Knew I think of.
Trish's family doing it and my family not. Maybe because Trish had a family dynamic amongst the kids. There's a giant bumblebee out there trying to get in. I do not approve. Whereas in my household, I had my sister and my brother. And they were both half-siblings from different parents, so they weren't always around. And also, there's a huge age gap. So really, we don't have a family dynamic. We had individual relationships. Me and my sister and my brother, me and my brother. And the three of us didn't do a lot of interacting. And so I guess there is some reverting back to that when we get together, but it's the individual relationship. So it's not like a whole family dynamic. And even that has changed, because a lot of that has to do with them treating me like a little kid kind of thing. And me acting like a little kid. And that, over the years, has changed. So.
Yeah, I just don't think there's any substantial role there for us to fall into.
Okay, so I really should not have left the big news for the end, because during all of this talk, they could be thinking about how cool that was. That we told them.
Yeah, but you made your decision, and we don't...
I know, well, we're screwed now.
Yeah.
All right, but we need to move along.
Yeah, you need to talk about your 2 weeks, which was probably so much more interesting than all the stupid things I just said.
I had my game, but they just went shopping.
They just went shopping.
One of them literally bought...
Doctor Enough?
No, Star Trek, the original generation's uniform, basically.
Why?
I don't know that he was doing it on purpose or not. They went to a store to buy some high-end clothes. They went to they're on this big planet with a lot, very urban planet.
This seems like the second or third time you've said they shopped the whole time during the game.
I know. Well, last time they shopped, but that was for modifications to their spaceship. This time, they have picked out some kind of crappy clothes for themselves, and so they went to a place where they were high-end clothes that were also armored. And so a couple of them really got into this, and the trick is it was all fairly expensive, so we actually had to roll to see if they could afford it. One of them sort of didn't get involved at all. And then one of them, our engineer, our only male character, who in the original design was also mildly autistic, but we kind of haven't played with that, he said, okay, Steve's going to go and find, like, the ugliest puke yellow, just generic top and a pair of, like, black slacks. And I'm like, so you mean like a Star Trek engineering outfit?
Yeah, yellow shirt?
Well, yellow in Next Generation. I think of it as engineering. I know it. Back in
the original series, it's Command, yeah.
But and he's also a little Asian dude, so basically he's Mr. Sulu now. And he picked it. And I was like, next time we have a milestone, we may have to adjust one of your aspects to reflect the fact that you have shitty, shitty fashion taste, because this has come up before. He loved that idea. But anyway, the point is, nothing interesting happened there. Still playing primarily Skyrim and Goat Simulator. These are my two games.
You're playing Goat Simulator.
I love Goat Simulator.
Unbelievable.
I play a lot of Goat Simulator. Have I not talked about this?
I don't know if you talked about playing it. You showed me a hot pepper review or whatever.
Oh, yes, that's what we had to do. Yeah,
that's how I even know about it.
I had it before then.
Oh, I don't remember.
That's why I was interested.
Maybe you did say.
That's why I was interested, was because of that. And I did eventually manage to become Queen of the Goats, and so I could summon peasants.
Queen of the
Goats.
Which
just dropped goats out of the sky, but they're ragdoll physics, and they don't move. So basically, it looks like I just caused it to rain dead goats.
It's raining dead goats.
Yes. Anyway, but primarily play that and Skyrim. Still playing Skyrim. I'm working on the DLC now. I'm a vampire. I'm sucking the life out of the innocent. It's fun. Anyway, saw two movies since we have last spoken.
Okay, I probably have two, but I don't remember.
One, which I mentioned to you in an email before, was Maleficent.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I don't have a lot to say because the internet has said it. If you go there, you can see. And the thing is, it's much of a debate because nobody's denying anything the other people are asserting. It's just some of them like it and some of them don't.
Really?
Yes.
So the people who love it and the people who hate it agree on all points, except the people who love it love those points and the people who hate it hate them.
No, the people who love it think those points are there, but they are way overshadowed by other cool stuff.
Oh.
And the people who hate it, like me, are like, no, that other cool stuff is there sometimes. Sometimes it's not even there. And the other stuff. Well, here's the big
one. Isn't that the way it always is, though?
And here's the thing that I can't believe.
That's pretty much the way it always is.
People who are discussing this all can agree that there is a tremendously focused and kind of explicit rape metaphor that fuels the entire plot. It is a PG children's movie rape revenge film. And even people who like it can agree on that. And I'm like, really? Right there? Shouldn't we go home? I really don't like that idea. But it's there. So here's what I'll say. I did not like the movie quite severely. I was bothered and offended by it for many reasons, which you can find on the internet. anybody who didn't like stuff still didn't like it. I agree Angelina Jolie did an amazing job. And it was some of the best effects, both practical and computer-generated, that I maybe have ever seen. There were some amazing effects in it. But the plot... And here's the thing. I was offended. I was bothered by a lot of it. Even that aside, I thought it was a stupid-ass movie. The story makes little to no sense. It is not a retelling of Sleeping Beauty. It is not Sleeping Beauty from another perspective. It is a completely different goddamn story that uses the character names, some of them, from Sleeping Beauty. It's ridiculous.
From Disney's Sleeping Beauty.
From Disney's Sleeping
Beauty. The original Sleeping Beauty, yes. Her name wasn't Aurora, and no. Maleficent wasn't the name of the Black Fairy or anything like that.
It's just a hot mess. So I encourage you not to go see it. It's not as bad as Sin City. It's not as bad as Elysium. It's still bad. but I know people who I consider to have fairly similar and respectable views on such things who really liked it. So.
All right. Who knows? What was the other one?
The other one was just last night, and it was finally seeing the black and white Joss Whedon version of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
Which listener Jazz seems to like.
Yes, and I have been very eager to see it. I'm a fan of Joss, and it has so much of his usual friends in it that I was very excited about that. Just to give you perspective, Clark Gregg, a.k.a. Agent Coulson, gets to play Leonato. Nathan Fillion gets to play Dogberry, which is hilarious. Sean Marr, or whatever, the guy who played Simon, the doctor on Firefly, plays Don John, the villain, essentially, in it. And Ricky Lindholm, I'm so glad I remembered that name. The other half of Garfunkel and Oates that's not Kate Micucci, the blonde from Garfunkel and Oates, plays Conrad, which they did as a female part. And sort of Don John's girlfriend instead of just one of his sort of men. And that was very interesting. So, here's what I gotta say about this. I'm stopping and saying I cannot say what the producer thought, because this one's a little tricky, so I get in trouble. Here's what I'm gonna say. Are you familiar with Much Ado About Nothing, the play?
Am I?
Yes.
Not at all.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge Shakespeare person anyway, but I know absolutely nothing about Much Ado.
There was an earlier film years ago, Kenneth Branagh, Emma Thompson, Denzel Washington, Keanu Reeves, bunch of people in it. I am a big fan of Shakespeare personally. but only for certain reasons. I'm a big fan of the language. I'm a big fan of what he does with his poetry and his word choices and things like this. I'm a big fan of dramatic elements. His stories are shit. I freely admit this. They are largely stolen, and they are convoluted and make no sense. And especially in this day and age, are very problematic with issues of classism, misogyny, racism, all over the place. Especially the comedies, because they are lowbrow as hell. And so that's not why I like him. And in general, the comedies are some of my least favorite. I went from back in the day, when Midsummer Night's Dream was my favorite Shakespeare play, to later The Tempest, to nowadays, it's Richard III. And pretty much any comedies of Shakespeare's are pretty far down my list.
Okay.
I love the histories, and I like a lot of the tragedies, although I fucking can't stand Romeo and Juliet anymore. Anyway, so keep this in mind. First of all, it's Shakespeare. It's still Shakespeare. They used the lines. It's not telling the story. It's actually performing Shakespeare. And it is Much Ado About Nothing. So there are a lot of things you can complain about. They all are complaints about the play. So given that, and I also don't think this is a good introduction to the play. I don't think if you've ever seen the play or read the play, this is probably not a good one. Go for the Kenneth Branagh one. It's fairly straightforward and simple, and then you can get a sense of it. So given all that, if you know Much Ado About Nothing, if you would like to see a version of Much Ado About Nothing, it's amazing. I loved it. It's so fun to see all those actors getting to just, you know, to do Shakespeare, to, you know, chew the hell out of the scenery. It's brilliantly shot. It is really well performed. And this is always a thing with Shakespeare. When you put Shakespeare in a modern sense, or in any, when you take Shakespeare out of the Elizabethan context, which is a big thing a lot of people like to do, it always feels weird. Especially in a more modern context, because you're like, nobody talks that way. This managed, partially through direction and nonverbal communication, partially through pacing and performance, to come as close as I've ever seen to it just feeling normal that they were talking that way. And it's very, I mean, it's very present day, and there's cell phones and cars, and you know, it's all very modern, but it's still the same text.
Okay.
I'm very biased because I'm the dork who actually likes to read Shakespeare plays, so I come from a very biased. But if you're into Much Ado About Nothing, or Shakespeare in general, and you already know the play and the story and everything, see this. It's really amazing.
Okay.
Okay. Now I think we have the big news.
Okay. Go for it.
You remember how we told you we were going to put up some videos? Well, it turns out we weren't liars. Yay! Not liars. So, I think we mentioned before that we had recorded some questions being answered from the hat.
10, specifically.
Yeah, in video form.
Yep.
And that William was going to edit them together into something, and we were going to throw them up periodically on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Well, much to my shock, which I shouldn't be, William just did it already. Just is done.
Well, it took a while, actually. I mean, I was really gone for a week.
I really don't feel like it took a while. I expected much longer.
It should have been done weeks ago, but I was gone a week, and the week before that, there were issues. So
it's only been a few weeks since we recorded it, like 4.
Exactly. Should have been like the next week or the week after.
All right. Anyway, he did it. And he started putting them up. And we now have an official real YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact address. I'll put it in the show notes. But if you go to YouTube and type in The Magical Talking Hat.
Especially if you put The Magical Talking Hat Podcast.
I didn't do that. Put in The Magical Talking Hat, and we're the first 3 things on YouTube.
You will find it on YouTube if you search that way.
And right now there are 2 videos. There's an introduction explaining what the hell's going on. And there's the first question.
Yeah, the introduction, if you watch YouTube regularly, you know that YouTube pages now can have like a permanent preview video that you see when you first get there. So when you go to the page the first time, it'll play automatically, and then video one is also there. The next videos, as I'm uploading the videos, I'm scheduling them, so
they'll come about once a week.
Actually, they're scheduled to come on Thursdays around the time the podcast posts.
Oh,
so around 7 o'clock next Thursday will be video two, and the Thursday around 7 o'clock the Thursday after that, video three, and so on until all 10 videos have posted automatically.
And Jazz is already subscribed to our channel, so
and you should too.
Yes, you should. In general, this is just a fun thing, which is why I like it. It's just fun to actually see us doing it. Keep in mind, the lighting is terrible, and the audio, for me, has some issues because I was way too far from the mic. These are things we will fix in the future.
But if you turn the volume up, it's okay. Just make sure you turn it back down if you do something else.
Yeah, see, I had the volume up max in every capacity.
Really?
Because I didn't have headphones or anything. It was just my speakers on my crappy laptop. Mm. But so we're aware of this, and you know, we've learned a lot of lessons for the next batch. But it's cute. I think it's very indicative of the show, and that's the really useful thing. If you want to show people or tell people about the show that you listen to, and they're like, well, what is it? And it's really hard to explain, and you can't get them to listen to something for an hour. Now you can show them a 2-3-4 minute video.
Right.
And it's just fun, and theoretically it could, you know, interest more people, but mostly it's just a silly thing we do, and it's fun to be able to watch us sometimes. And then you guys can go watch us, too. Probably won't place the... Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll place the link to every video in the blog, but we'll see. Mostly just go to the channel.
The video quality is quite bad. I was just using... And you'll be able to tell this. I was just using a webcam on a laptop, and sometimes it wobbles and stuff. I mean, there are a lot of problems. We had no idea where we were filming it that the lighting would be so bad.
Yeah. Next time we'll just, like, bring a lamp
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, so... So and apologies for that.
The editing is pretty hilarious. Like I said, we just basically recorded straight for like 45 minutes or an hour, and then William has edited it to be shorter and snazzier, and it's pretty funny. I like it.
But yeah, if like Tony said, if you'd like to maybe share the hat with other people, but you're not sure how to do that, and you don't think you can just send them to the, you know, to the website or look at the blog. These are going to be short. The longest one so far is 6 minutes. Actually, I think the longest is 8 minutes, but it's the last one. We have not only answering a question, but we have, you know, telling people again where they should go if they want to submit a question.
I just thought you meant the ones that up. I'm like, the longest one I've seen is 4 minutes and 51 seconds.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a 6 minute one. So they're not very long. And they're, the people, a few people have seen them already, and they seem to like them. So, you know, maybe it'll be useful for those of you who want to introduce other people to the hat, but you don't have a handy way to do it.
I suspect they're going to be appealing or unappealing, much in vain of the podcast.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
So theoretically, they could find more people who don't know about our podcast. But mostly, if people don't like us now, they're not going to like that.
Probably
and
not.
Vice versa. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think too.
But mostly, I just think they're funny and fun to do.
Yeah, they're fun to do, and I think you, the listeners, will appreciate them, or I hope you do.
You better, or we will find you. And I have no idea how to finish that threat, but something bad will happen.
We will send you some.
Don't think I'll
Doctor Enough
to find you either. All right. So that is all of our news. We got a very purring Ezzy. You know what Ezzy has been doing?
What's that?
So Ezzy, as you may know, is a horrible bitch cat.
So you claim.
Which is why we're trying to sell her at our store in the Denver airport for $5.
No takers. I can't believe
yeah.
that.
And one of the things about her that is in line with that, she does not want to be picked up.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
she's very small. It's very easy to do. But she does not like it. And she flips out and stuff. And she also flips out about having her nails trimmed, so periodically we have to wrap her in a blanket and take one paw out at a time to trim her damn nails. But anyway, we've been trying for a while, just sort of on occasion, not at all systematically, to pick her up just to pet her and be nice to her and then put her back down so that she does not start associating being picked up with the shitty nail.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that too. I don't.
But we didn't ever really try that hard. Well, now we're doing this thing where we go to the gym in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we get ready, I generally am ready and by the door for a few minutes before Trish is there.
Okay.
And Ezzy is awake and wants to know what's going on. So she comes to see me. So I've been practicing when she comes over to see me. I would pick her up. And it took a little bit, but she's kind of started taking to it. And lately, she pretty much comes over and demands to be picked up.
Really?
Just for a couple minutes, and it only works there. If I go and try and pick her up. The other day, Trish picked her up to move her someplace, and she was kind of compliant. But in general, she's still not into getting picked up, but she likes to get picked up in the morning for a couple minutes by the door. And she climbs up on my shoulder a little higher than she needs to and sits there and purrs like crazy. And I pet her, and Trish comes over and pet her, and then we put her back down. So it's working.
Interesting.
Yep. All right, so hat time.
Yep.
No. Hat time. No.
Wow, this is a pink card.
Hat time.
You know, the great thing about the YouTube videos, and again, we are pulling things out of the hat, so your question might, you know, be on YouTube.
Yeah, those were legitimate, normal hat questions on YouTube.
But it was a pretty good sample of questions from a fairly good sample of, you know, of our listeners. So if when people watch all 10 of them together, they're going to get a pretty good idea. They're going to get a pretty good idea what the show's like, is what I'm saying. Avalanche.
And things are falling on the floor. Who's this one from?
Hard hat number one, Mark McKibben. Let's see. Bold adventurers reaching into the yawning chasm. Mm.
That sounds vaguely euphemistic in ways that make me uncomfortable, but I think I know what he's going for.
What's the worst car accident you've ever been in? I can guess at Williams, but I'm curious as to Tony's experience. I think I've told the story of mine.
You absolutely have told this story.
On the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
A couple times? Possibly. I assume most stories. One time I forced you to tell it.
I don't remember, but I don't need to say anything.
Yes, that is when William was the karate hero of Iowa City. Hit by a truck, saved children. It was wonderful. None of my stories compare with that. I have very limited car accident stories. My favorite is still the one I think I've told on here in high school when we... I'll spare the backstory, but for reasons that are unimportant, me and like four other high school friends were in a car driving out into the country. There was a national park out there that we were all going to as part of a field trip thing or whatever. But we were doing one of my classmates had a car, and we were all in their car. And so we're out on these country roads, and we go to turn, and it's one of those where there's a couple different directions to go, and consequently, there's a patch of sort of gravel on the road where no cars have touched.
Okay.
And we hit that. And it totally locked up the wheel. Like, the wheels didn't turn anymore, and we start sliding towards... Luckily, there was a guardrail there. But they hit the brakes, and it didn't work because everything stopped. But we apparently weren't going very fast. Because what happened is all five of us, all in the car, all holding, you know, whatever we can get a hold of as tight as possible, going, ah! And then we literally just went bonk. Like, so light against it, we didn't even get out of the car to look. And afterwards, we're like, we are idiots, because we're all terrified.
That doesn't sound like a terrible car accident.
No, but this is the levels we're talking about here. And the only other one, my first accident, although don't tell my insurance company, because they didn't know, when I was just graduated from college and I finally had a car, I was backing out of a parking spot in the little town I was, and it was one of those where I wanted to go the opposite direction, so I was pretty much making like a full U-turn.
Okay.
And I played the radio really loud, so apparently I didn't hear somebody leaning on their horn to stop me, so I ended up backing right into the side van door of a woman.
Wow.
To be clear, of a woman's car.
Yes. The woman did not have side van doors of her van into the door. There was nothing inside. There was no risk, but it was terrible. I was 22. This is my first car. I was 100% at fault because my radio was too loud. And just for funsies, turns out she's the minister's wife.
Mm.
So I'm freaking out. We exchange information, and they come into where I work the next day, which I told them to, so we could work. And I said, I'm a brand new driver. I'm still 22. Can you guys get an estimate and tell me, and I can just pay you, and we can keep insurance out of it because I don't want an accident on my insurance this soon. And they said, sure. So they got a estimate, which was $250.
Mm-hmm.
Which I paid to them. I wrote a check. I went out to where they lived. I gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of money for me. In fact, it was a month's rent back then, but I could make it work.
Yeah.
And a while later, it must have been a few months later, I see her driving the car in town, and it still has the damage.
Well, that's how it works sometimes.
And I go and talk to her, and I'm like, yeah, I noticed you still got that. And she's like, yeah, well, turns out that wasn't a good estimate, and it actually is going to cost more than that. So how have you been? And I played the game right back, and I'm like, yeah, been almost 6 months since I graduated. I'm going to have to start paying my student loans soon. I'm not sure how to. And we just had these brittle smiles, and we went our own separate ways after that. Are you leaving to go get us pizza?
Well, I have a question. Medium?
That seems fair. You mean you haven't ordered yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Your story took a long time.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear about the roles that William's family played in the family. It's a really long story, and the answer is none.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Essentially.
No, it's already happened.
Essentially,
none.
Essentially,
no. Oh, how did you feel about Much Ado About Nothing?
I thought it was pretty terrible.
Not as terrible as Maleficent, though.
The problem is not the film. The problem is the play.
Yes.
It's terrible. And I'm 42, so...
And what did you feel about Maleficent?
It was really pretty.
At the time, you actually used the phrase, really terrible. I can't
it
say
was,
that's how
it
you
was
felt.
Also really pretty.
It was really pretty.
Yeah.
Don't know if that's enough.
No.
It was a lot of pretty, but...
If that was enough, I might have liked Sin City.
If you've ever posted an outraged thing to any form of internet about feminism, it's probably...
Some feminists were into it. But they surprised the hell out of me.
They were also into fairies.
Well, that's a difference. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
and some self-described feminists can find empowerment in the rape-revenge storyline.
That's true.
In the revenge part, mostly. I still find it so terrible that in order to achieve that, we have to have the victimization first. So to me, it's very counter to that. But anyway, that's the argument some people have. Jezebel had a very interesting article about it. It's arguably a little bit spoilery, but it's Sleeping Beauty, so, you know, whatever. And it's interesting because the author went with a friend, and the friend liked it a lot less than the author did. And the author starts to look at that, because, again, the author is not in denial of any of the stuff that happened. And so there's some interesting discussion of that. But, anyway, car accidents. That's mostly it, other than, I mean, they've all been just fender benders, as it were.
Well, let's see, I think the first car accident I was ever in, I was riding a school bus. And a guy, hit us while we were crossing a highway. The bus driver was at fault. Hit us really hard, but nobody was hurt. And then one time my mom was driving me and my brother and a friend to summer camp or something, and a guy ran a stop sign and hit us. Again, hit us really hard, but nobody was hurt. Scott and I were on a double date once, and some guy ran a stop sign.
Who was the other couple?
You're really funny.
You date your brother.
Hit us really hard, but nobody was hurt. I got, you know...
For the record, that was not a gay joke, that was an incest joke.
It was kind of both.
It was a gay incest joke, but the gay part was not a joke. It's only funny if it's a relation.
Let's see, I've been in a number of accidents that should have been more horrific, but nobody was ever hurt.
Someday, your life is going to be turned into the longest, most boring screenplay of a Final Destination movie.
Like, something really horrific happens, but somehow a person escapes just...
The specter of death keeps trying to kill you in fairly weak car accidents.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see... And, of course, everybody knows about what I would consider a really bad accident.
The Super Karate Shield accident.
That I also didn't get hurt in, but...
You kind of got hurt in that one.
I guess. It was an odd experience. And, yeah, that's really...
All right, that's all we got. Let's do another one real quick so that we have more to talk about.
Okay.
So, thanks for your question. No name on this, no opening on this.
Okay.
Is there anything Tony won't eat?
We've been getting a lot of these only relevant to you questions.
I know.
I mean, not just only relevant to you, but like addressing you specifically. You do?
This is interesting.
Why, what am I supposed to do while you're answering questions about Tony?
Well, you can psychoanalyze my eating habits.
Okay. That sounds exciting.
This came up this weekend. This weekend we were back with the in-laws because one of them was doing a Chalk the Walk event. And so the producer actually made a really cool, like, quilt pattern on the sidewalk. You familiar with Chalk the Walk?
Nope.
It's a type of art fair or event that some cities do now where people just make chalk pictures on the sidewalk. And you invite artists in, like, to be featured and stuff like that, but also, like, little kids come and do whatever they want and stuff like that.
Okay.
And one of my sister-in-laws works with the city, and so as part of an overall sort of art festival thing this weekend, she did a Chalk the Walk, and Trish made a quilt thing. But while I'm there just sitting there, you know, being supportive, not doing anything, and so my niece is around... And she had gone inside because at the art show they were having free cookies just there as refreshments. And so she asked if she could get one, and her mom said yes, and so she went and got one. And later she didn't have it, and she said, no, it was terrible. I took one bite, and then I just threw it away. And I was very upset with her. And I said, young lady, you know better than that. If you have food that you find disgusting... You bring it to Uncle Tony. Because this is true. I'll eat just about anything. In fact, her mother said, I don't know if there's any food Uncle Tony won't eat. And I said, vegetables. Which is a running joke. But there's a very bare handful of foods I won't eat. So, would you care to guess?
Would I care to guess about what?
What few foods I won't eat.
Cantaloupe. Cucumbers.
Well, cantaloupe is a bit specific, yes. Melon in general.
Yeah, melon in general.
Cucumbers, yes.
Which are related to melons, as it turns out.
Yes, which is interesting for you. They're all kind of vegetables.
I'm not psychic. We've talked about this before.
All right.
I think that was the entire list.
No, there's more.
Okay.
Olives.
I think you mentioned those
I can
before.
Cope with black olives, green olives, yep. right out.
Yeah,
but I don't
mention
like
those before.
Black olives either. And then there is the killer one. The one that I have not eaten since I was very young, which I had already gone several years without eating because I hated it, and my parents convinced me to try a bite, and I took a bite and immediately threw up on myself. Beets.
Yeah, you mentioned this before too. Beets. I almost said beets, but I didn't want to be wrong if in case I was wrong, and I'm usually wrong. But I wouldn't have been wrong this time.
Which is why you didn't say anything. Had you said something, you would have been wrong.
That's true. So,
yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yes.
But yes, you've mentioned beets before, how you hate them.
Yes, so...
And I love them, which makes sense.
As does the producer, although only fresh ones. She does not like pickled
ones. Oh, no, no, yeah, I don't like those either, but...
Because I bought some for her in the early days of us dating, and she never opened them. And I was like, why? She's like, I don't like... But she likes the fresh ones.
Oh,
and every
yeah,
once in a while,
them.
She'll get some, and she waits for some time where I'm gone, like, for the day. Because even the smell of them cooking in the house is disgusting to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I believe you've said this before.
Why
did this come up before? Nobody's ever asked this question.
My tendency to just eat everything might have come up before.
Yeah.
And I specifically eat weird things around my nieces and nephews because it's hilarious. And it's caused me to invent some really great dishes, like hot dogs with Cheetos stuffed in it. Or, of course, I've always liked this, but I did a little bit more of sandwiches with the potato chips in there.
Yeah.
That was a nice one.
Yeah, we've done that. Or I used to do that.
Not long ago, one night, we were having barbecue beef for dinner, like sort of like Sloppy Joe kind of thing. When we were there, and so I, instead of just putting it over the hamburger bun, as it tends to be done as an open-faced sandwich, I put down some cold leftover chicken fingers and then covered that with some Cheetos and some potato chips and then coated the whole thing in barbecue beef. Oh my God, I forgot. I have something very important to say.
Okay.
I invented one of the greatest... culinary masterpieces of all time and feel that I have completed my life's work in having brought this to the world.
Congratulations.
And so I'm done now. Yeah, it's a huge weight off. I've talked before, I think, about the horseshoe, a type of sandwich.
Not that I recall.
It is something I learned about through an episode of Man vs. Food, and I have since discovered it more greatly. It is apparently a Central Illinois / Southern Illinois thing. And it is an open-faced sandwich that is supposed to be essentially a horseshoe. Originally, it was a piece of bread and a piece of ham that had been cut into the familiar U horseshoe shape.
Okay.
And then covered with French fries, which were supposed to be horseshoe nails. And then the whole thing covered in a cheese sauce, which was supposed to be glue. That was the thematic thing of it.
It has since progressed
into essentially some sort of bread, usually Texas toast, some sort of meat that you have chosen, covered in fries, covered in cheese sauce.
Does the meat have to be prepared a certain way? Or?
No. There's ones with hamburger, there's ones with bacon, there's ones with... I had one just the other day at Okoboji called with shaved ham. They call it a boat anchor, though, not a horseshoe.
Okay.
Stuff like this. Really tasty. Usually it's very dependent on the cheese sauce, but super tasty. And there's a place in Springfield, Illinois called Darby's Pint, which is the thing I saw on the episode of Man vs. Food, that has tons of them, and theirs get way more elaborate, where instead of cheese sauce, some of them have gravy, and some of them have other things on top of the cheese sauce and stuff like that. They got tons of them. Anyway, love these things. There is a restaurant in my in-law's town that makes these, among other things. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I have to have these, and I've had them. I really like them. So we're there this last weekend, and nobody can figure out what we're going to do for dinner. And I'm like, why don't we go to this pub? Because I want a horseshoe. And so we go there. I hadn't been in there a while. They kind of expanded their menu. It's kind of cool. There's a lot of interesting stuff. But I want a horseshoe, so that's why I'm there. So that's what I'm going to get. Waitress comes over. She's telling us about the specials, which is not a big deal because it's Saturday, and they have the like daily thing, and so I can see what Saturday is. Except they also have some Friday left, and Friday is prime rib, so they have prime rib. I love prime rib.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here for a horseshoe.
What are you going to do?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at him, I'm going to smile sweetly, and I'm going to say, is there any way you could make a prime rib horseshoe?
And?
No, just enjoy the moment, because that's when the world changed.
Hmm.
And she said, sure. It's just, you know, your sides and your potato and stuff, so it should be fine. I'll check with the cook. And he said, whatever. And they brought it to me. And it was amazing.
All right, let's be so clear, good. Because I think I might be confused. We're talking about some bread.
Texas toast on the bottom, yes. A piece of prime rib.
In this case, prime rib.
On top of that.
French fries.
Kringle cut French fries.
And
smothered
cheese sauce.
In cheese sauce. Not just like cheese whiz. This is a special cheese sauce that like they made there.
No, I get it.
Yes.
And this is amazing.
It was so tasty. It's really tasty. It's tasty enough that that's the important story, and the little epilogue is, by the way, I also ate alligator for the first time at that meal. Because they had alligator as an appetizer, and so I got some, split it with somebody else who was there to try it out.
What was that like?
Tastes like chicken. Hate to say it, but it's true. But the consistency is much chewier and rubberier. It reminds me more of eating like calamari or something like that. But the flavor is very much like chicken.
So was that good or bad?
Eh. I like being able to say I have had alligator. I don't know that I'd bother again.
I see. Well.
Prime rib horseshoe.
So, time to retire now that you've achieved your life's goal.
No, I just don't have to try as hard anymore.
Well. That's going to be interesting to see you trying less hard.
Yes, you thought this was the bottom.
I did. I thought we were at zero point energy.
It's like when I have to explain to people at work that I do actually have a work filter on what I say. They just aren't aware of it unless they hang out with me somewhere else. It's all a matter of comparison.
Yeah, it's all relative.
You know, like that brother you used to date. I know, I'm not feeling the joke either. I feel like if I push it enough, eventually it gets funny.
No.
I know, I don't feel like it does.
It's not funny.
Your family's just too dull for an incest joke to be funny.
No, I think the problem here is that you did the prime rib horseshoe thing, and you're just not trying it
anymore.
That's
true. Oh, man. I told him, I'm like, you need to start serving this on the menu, and you need to credit me for it.
The Tony horseshoe. The Tony Parsons horseshoe. The Tony. But it's a horseshoe. I mean, you got to have the horseshoe part in there, or else people aren't going to know what it is.
Well, they had a section on the menu called horseshoes.
Oh, put in there, like, yes. Or that's right.
All the other ones said, like, the bacon horseshoe, whatever. Then this should just be the Tony.
The Tony.
You know?
And when people say, why is it called the Tony, they won't remember.
Doesn't matter.
They'll think that they invented it once when the Tony Awards were on TV.
I was
going
to say, because this is the sandwich they used to give to really successful actors. On Broadway.
On Broadway, right. Not specifically. Not
for dramatic stage performance, you got this sandwich. I'm seeing people up there with the plate. Like, I'd like to thank my family, my dance instructor.
That's pretty awesome. I like that. That's good.
So, see, we had a lot of big news this week. There's a lot of stuff going on.
So, expect the quality of the podcast to go down a little bit more.
Yes.
That's all right.
Again, didn't think. Here are Peter's Donuts. In fact, I think next week we'll just recite exactly an earlier episode.
Why not?
Yeah, okay. So see you then.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, Visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.